Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum, dear believers and listening radio audience. Thank you for joining us this evening. You're listening and tuning into It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma. As always, we will get started with our program. We will open up with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-abdalin. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Okay, again, thank you for being here with us this evening. We're looking forward to a wonderful broadcast this evening, and we look forward to your participation. And we do have our co-host here with us this evening, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, so we will open up her mic and welcome her to the show. Assalamu alaikum to you, my dear sister.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. And yourself?
Alhamdulillah. I really enjoyed the show from last week. I was able to listen in, even though I was not able to be a part of the show. And you did a magnificent job, as usual. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We missed you, though. We missed your input and your insight. So I'll let, if there's anything you'd like to share about the topics last week, feel free to join in to the recap. Okay? So yes, I will get started with the recap. Last week, I think we pretty much have wrapped up the series that we have been doing on man rules and looking at the trauma and generational trauma that they have occurred because of these man rules, where men are per Western society, you know, these rules of how what makes a man, a manly man. And those rules were don't cry, don't ask for help, don't be emotional, don't my notes are not in front of me. You don't, let's see, I can pull them up really quickly, though. They should have been committed to memory by this time. We've gone over, don't be weak, don't show emotion, don't ask for help, don't cry, don't care about relationships. Those were the five main rules that men have been conditioned with. So we did look at those in different ways. And the author of the book we were presenting from, Dan Griffin, A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. Okay. But the book dealt with addiction and trauma. And the big takeaway for me has been the difference between big trauma and small trauma. That small trauma is something that happens consistently over time, over long periods of time, and is something that can remain with us and running in the background all the time. And the author used the 12 steps to handle that trauma and to help heal and make a paradigm shift with the men that he studied, using the 12 steps, of recovery from addiction. But we used on the program the 12 steps from Milati Islami, And we found that those 12 steps were very practical and really creates a process for us to overcome trauma, to handle trauma, and to make this shift, to make a paradigm shift, to break old rules and regimens, and really to put ourselves in the position to create a brand new outlook on life. And so we looked at this as a process for change. And I thought that is a very good process. It covers so much. And unbeknownst to us, many of us practice these, some of these 12 steps already without even knowing that we are doing it, just in practicing our religion properly and making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad a focal point in our lives, that we are recovering from trauma and processing trauma and creating a new paradigm for ourselves, new insights. And another big takeaway for me that I learned through this process was that prayer in itself is a game changer for us, because the act of worship and praying creates brand new neurons for us in our physiological state. We're creating brand new neurons when we make prayer. So that is truly very healing. So we see the benefit of practicing our religion and praying as a part of us overcoming trauma. Because you talk about trauma that has occurred over a long period of time. Well, try hundreds of years. Hundreds and hundreds of years we're processing trauma. And then you have generational trauma as well. Okay? So transform. We transform into these beautiful human beings through the act of worship, the act of prayer, the process of forgiveness, the process of getting a better understanding of our roles that Allah has created for us, and the responsibilities that we are given as Khalifa custodians, mothers and fathers, members of the Ummah community, the responsibilities that we accept. We are creating new, brand new situations, brand new opportunities for ourselves and future generations when we are conscious that we're processing away trauma and we're making changes, conscious changes. We're doing the introspection that is required as one of the 12 steps, and honestly looking at ourselves to see what and where we need to improve on within our own selves. So if we're custodians, we're custodians of our soul as well, where we're doing this introspection and looking, where do I need to change? How do I need to change? What areas do I need to work on and improve on? You know, and we are conscious that change is a necessity as we become better human beings. Okay, and the session was the series was basically done for men because the book was written by a man for men. And so we thought that that would be very interesting to present, since the prior book that we presented from was written by a woman, a sister, before the nikah, but it was balanced in its approach for men and women. But just hearing something written specifically by men from a man was very, very interesting, and we pray that it was beneficial. And last week, we looked at the transition from the man rules that were taught during the Nation of Islam and how men transitioned from those man rules into the rules of the Holy Quran, into the guidance of the Holy Quran, and who men are and man's responsibility and what that transition was like. So we got a lot of interesting conversation from the radio audience on that particular segment as well. Bina, would you like to add anything?
Well, that, yes, there was a lot of participation, which was greatly appreciated. The sisters shared quite a bit about her life and what was going on with her and their relationship, which was very personal, but it was a teaching moment for all of us. I really got a chance to know the sister a lot better just by hearing about her experience. Then with Brother Imam Kareem sharing his information, it kind of brings back memories, it really in both cases, because when the sister mentioned about how she was honest in her answers, where she said, when you were asking her pertaining to her relationship and how that went per se, and she spoke so honestly saying how she didn't really go into it as, like, maybe a lot of times is projected in the world that we get into relationships by getting to know people and this whole notion of quote-unquote falling in love with someone. We choose this person, date this person, fall in love with them, and then we make the choice to get married. And I use that very loosely, that she mentioned how it just was something she kind of did at that particular time because it was kind of like what worked best for her and what worked best for him. And I thought that was sweet to say that, and also because when I think about my relationships also at that age when we began to start having relationships and things like that, we really don't know a lot. We don't have a lot of information. We don't know the correct way to get into marriage, and we go into marriage for all types of reasons. And we don't have this process like we have here now, and like that we're working towards here. It's all about courtship and marriage, to be able to create a process in going into marriage and not just going in, running from something maybe, and really understanding what we're doing when we make this transition, this step into marriage. So she really had me thinking on a lot of levels about what happened and what has happened in the past and how things have changed. And you stress change, how things always are changing and we have to change with them, which I thought was a great point also, and because you're absolutely right, everything is always changing and it's going to change with or without us. And we pray that it changes and we're on the good side of that change and we're actually learning something and learning something of benefit for ourselves and to be models for the generation that comes behind us, if not just to be able to let them know something that we didn't even know at that particular time. So yeah. I got a lot out of that last week just listening to it.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So here we are, and I pray that that whole series was beneficial and that you, the radio audience, also had some good takeaways from the information that was shared during those series on man rules and recovering from small traumas. Okay, so we're going to make a turn this evening, and after we come back from our station break, I've had several requests to talk about marrying at older ages, getting married at older ages, and so we're going we're going to make an attempt to tackle this very important topic this evening. And we pray that the information is useful and that we can help someone who's looking for this particular information. Okay, so don't touch that dial. We're going to be back and get started on this very important topic this evening. And you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, is also with us. So while we're taking our station break, call a friend and have them tune in if they are older, looking to get married at this stage in life, and have them join in and listen to the program. And we are going to love hearing from our radio audience on these topics as well. So please stick and stay with us. We'll be right with you. We're listening. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back, and we come back to you, and we have a caller in the queue, so we are going to go to our caller, and 408-821, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, peace to you, too. What are you doing? How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Okay, state your name and where you're calling from, if you don't mind.
Okay, my name is Craig, and I'm calling from California, and... Oh, I'm reaching out.
Long time no hear, Craig.
It's been a while, you know, but I like to stop by every now and then and say hello, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, glad to hear from you this evening. What's on your mind?
Well, you're talking about something that I'm really interested in, and that I have been interested in for a long time. And since I've been interested in what you're saying, because it has an effect in my life, you know, and I've been through a lot of different situations that required what you were speaking about, you know, a higher way of looking at things. But when you're in a lower position, sometimes it's difficult, you know, to go to a higher position to deal with the difficulty that's down here on the lower position. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we have people outside of ourselves that come to us when we're in a lower position dealing with difficulties down here, and they speak into our life, we are listening, you know, we're not just letting go one ear out the other because we just think this person's just talking the same old stuff that everybody says. No, somebody has our attention. So when we're focused on what someone is saying, they take us to a higher place so we can deal with the difficulty that we were dealing with down here, but just at a higher level. And
mm-hmm.
I appreciate people that take an interest in what I just said. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, yeah, go right ahead. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, I know you have a lot to say. I do the same thing too when I'm listening to someone talking. I have the same, I don't want to say it's a problem, but it can be if you want to remember what you were going to say instead of listening to what I'm saying, because things change
mm-hmm.
drastically as you listen. And then you're like, oh, that's why I'm listening. I'm not just opening my mouth, because there's
mm-hmm.
more information that's coming and that will be relevant to what I'm saying. And you know, I'm not playing, because we don't have time for that. We don't play games. If this was a game, in fact, we would be way ahead of the game. I heard you talking earlier. And we would be saying to the people, look, this isn't a game. I know people play games. That's what people do. But we're talking about love. And love doesn't have any boundaries, so it just crosses the boundary where people have issues. And since we're dealing with those issues that are difficult for people to deal with, because they talk about the problem all the time, but they never get around to the solution. But this program seems to be enlightening folks to another way of thinking that might be a position that would be higher than where they are, so they can deal with the difficulty that they were dealing with down here. I want to reinforce the positive and not the negative, so that's why I call in to these programs, and I do share, I guess, tidbits of the truth. But if there's someone that was listening, I'm just saying someone, and they wanted to know more, and they said, well, how do I get a hold of you? Well, I don't have any platform. This is my platform. Your program is my platform. So if anybody wants to hear more, you know, they can always contact your program and say, hey, look, there was a guy talking about this and that. We'd like to hear this guy say something else. Then there would be a door open for an opportunity for me to take advantage of it, and I would definitely walk through it. So, but I don't want to force anything, because I've dealt with religious people, and I'm talking about Christian people. Christian people are the worst offenders of the truth that I've ever met. And I'm not trying to be mean towards them, but I'm just a little bit frustrated with the way that they talk. And it's not appropriate for my ears. And if it's not appropriate for my ears, then it's not appropriate for the people that are listening to that crap.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have our email, halakha360@yahoo.com, halakha360@yahoo.com, and we appreciate any feedback or any questions or concerns that are sent to us, and also requests for topics to be addressed on that platform. So that platform is available for contact. Again, that's Halakha, H-A-L-A-Q-A 360@yahoo.com, where we can be reached regarding any topics that are presented or future topics that are requested to be presented. Okay.
May I ask a question? Is that okay?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Most people I run into when I talk about the scriptures, when I'm explaining what I was taught about the scriptures, what they do is they butcher the scripture so that it conforms to what they think that the Word of God is saying to me. And since I'm able to see that they're doing, which is detrimental to them and the listeners that are listening to them, and I give them the truth, they attack the truth. And so it tells me that these people are adversarial towards the truth that's inside of me when I share it with them. And then God shows me, if you want to call him God, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, the Spirit shows me that they are the most hungry of them all because they're the ones that are attacking him the most. And so since I'm the host with the most from coast to coast, I'm breaking it down so everybody can see what's going on. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. That gets back to change. And us accepting change and many people will look at scripture and change the scripture, you know, and to avoid changing themselves or ourselves and color scripture in a way where, you know, we're not going to make that big change, but, you know, we can look at scripture in a different way where we don't have to. And that that is detrimental. We let scripture change us. If we read scripture and it's the word of God, the word of God is coming directly to us, and we change based on God's word, and we don't change scripture to suit ourselves, you know. So that is at the root of it. Yeah,
you're so good. I'm telling you, I listen to what people say, and you know what? I have to admit that you are just staying on track. You know, I've been laying these tracks down for years, and I was hoping that somebody would be able to come down these tracks and reflect what I'm be projecting to them. You know what I'm saying? But I've run across these people, and these people are Christian. They call themselves Christians. I don't care what denomination they come out of. You know what I mean? It could be any one of them, but they all have a different way of saying the same thing. And that's that they don't believe what God is saying. But you are able to see something that these folks don't see. And when you're talking to me, I'd be listening to what you're saying. I'm like, okay, girlfriend, she ain't playing no games. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Well, God bless your husband. I mean, he must be tickled pink.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's so good hearing from you. So good hearing from you, Craig, and stop back by any time and let us know how you're doing. And
thank you for all the work
that you do. Okay?
Sweet. Thank you. I appreciate your words. I appreciate those words. Thank you. And God bless those words. You know what I'm saying? Because they need to be heard, just like this lady's saying. She ain't playing no games. You all need to be paying attention. You know what? If you miss something, you can always come back and listen again. You understand?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Craig. You take good care, okay?
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. All right. All right. And thank you, Craig, for calling in and sharing your thoughts. Okay. So as stated prior to the break, we're going to talk this evening about getting married at an older age. So older age is relative, so we'll say after retirement. You're retired, you're in your 60s, mid to late 60s, and you've been single, and you want to get married. And you can be single because you're a widow or because you had a divorce and you never remarried. You've been raising children, and now you're in this in the winter stages of life and you want to get married, okay? What should that look like? What are the concerns that you are facing to get married at a later age in life? Well, let's first talk about the good reasons to get married, okay? And so you the house is now empty. All the children have their own lives. Grandchildren are around the country or around the city, and you're in your home and you're alone. And one of the good reasons to get married is for, first and foremost, the best reason to get married is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Allah created us to be married, to have a mate, to have a spouse, for so many different reasons. There's community life within the home, living in the community life within the home. And we're living alone is not healthy for us. When we are living by ourselves and our thoughts aren't challenged, the challenge to grow, the challenge to grow and expand is not in the atmosphere. It's just not there. You can just, you know, do what you want to do, be who you want to be. The challenge to improve and the challenge to grow is not in your direct surrounding. Someone to go back and forth with or communicate with, to discuss things with, to make a lot with, to study Quranic questions or lessons with, to have those conversations with, to get feedback or insight from another person. You don't have that in your immediate environment. And that is what we should have in our environments always. We are born into communities and into community life. So that's one of the first reasons that we want to be married. And when Bina, we have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to 504-488. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
There's something I want to find out. I'm looking at a situation that we have that deals with faith and the ability to really stay together, and I want to see how this. I need some help with this. So I want to say this poem, and I want you to really help me with this. You and the co-host. So this is a poem I wrote. God has blessed some of us to overcome hurt. Maybe because we strive harder to keep him first. This hurt could have come from a spouse. You are trying to figure something out. God can turn hurt into a positive force and make us better people because we are more responsible. Is what happening is done for a future good? We are trying not to be misunderstood. When we study psychology without scripture, we see God as a bad entity. Faith is a reality that the believers need. Is this God reality for you and me? You know that it isn't easy to establish peace. American psychologists have seen God and religion as really the problem. We know that something is seriously wrong with them.
Okay. So say that last part again. America has seen
okay.
what?
Right. American psychologists have seen God and religion as really being the problem. We know that something is seriously wrong with them.
Okay. Yeah. So we've all been hurt or received some type of pain in life.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we were talking about in this last series, processing that, especially when it has caused trauma, and processing that and healing from that. And it is possible. We have to first know that it's possible to heal from it, and we have a duty to heal from it and not put that pain off on someone else. So we ask Allah to help us with that pain. And find the lesson. Why did this happen? Why was I hurt? Why did this hurt me? Okay. And what is the lesson that we should learn from those situations? Because those lessons are valuable to us, because it's something that we needed to learn from a particular situation. You know, whether we trusted someone we shouldn't have, whether we maybe overrode all of our internal signals that were telling us, not the one, don't go there, don't do that. We might have overridden that. And maybe we didn't know ourselves well enough to get into this particular relationship. And now we're feeling the effects of it. And we're saying, well, what was I thinking? Okay. But at any rate, if we are forced to get to know ourselves better, if we are forced to listen to Allah's guidance more, if we are forced to learn more and to overcome past trauma and past hurt so that we don't carry it around, get rid of some of that baggage, then it has served its purpose. It has served its purpose to help improve ourselves and our conditions and to become a better person, a better human being, you know. And hindsight is going to be 20/20. You know, and Bina, we talked about this and attraction and knowing why you're attracted to someone and investigating that attraction. And why am I attracted to this person, you know, and not just get run away with it and think that this attraction means that they are the one, you know, that we keep our feet on the ground and act rationally. Bina, would you like to add to or say anything to what's been said?
Well, you hit a lot of points, and, you know, most of the points. The attraction, you just really hit on a lot of the points. It's not really a thing about really going behind that. Just maybe giving examples of some of those things where we go and we don't always know that we're attracted to a certain kind of person until we've gone through two or three different relationships, and then we look back and see that we were experiencing the same types of hurt for some reason. You know, we figure we get a different person, but they're talking a different thing, but we still end up getting hurt the same way. It might, whether it be psychological hurt or physical hurt, we find ourselves in these same types of relationships with different persons. When you're right, we have to look at why is it us going through this? Why are we going through the same thing? Because there's probably something in us that needs to be worked on. And, you know, we can't put it on someone else. It's not to say that what that person did. And the best way to grow is by looking at yourself. And only looking at yourself when you come out of these relationships and seeing what you did or didn't do, because at the end of the day, you're the only person that can, that you can change. You can't change the other person. You can't change who you've chosen, or you can't change who chose you and that relationship. But what you can do is change who you are, how you're being, and making sure you're doing the thing in order to not have the same end result in further relationships.
Yes. And the last part of that poem, Brother Bilal, if you are a man of God or a woman of God or on the Sirat al-Mustaqim and Allah is your focal point and getting to paradise is your focal point, you please choose a mate with the same focal point. Don't choose a mate who wants the world, you know, and you want paradise now and paradise later, and Allah is your focal point. Choose someone on that same path so that that challenge is not there where you're pulling into different directions, you know. So that is one major concern that may cause us difficulty and more pain. So Allah says we are arranged in ranks, you know. So get someone on your same rank, on your same level, going in the same direction as you, you know, to be to help fortify and strengthen your resolve, not weaken it or take away or detract or distract you from the direction and the path that you're on. Okay, and this will also help to minimize pain.
And if I can just add a little more to what also that Manira was saying, when she was mentioning that when we go through these situations, you know, it is to show us something, that it's to make us stronger, to prepare us for a better situation. Like Allah doesn't put anything on us more than we can bear. And we have to look at it's not like we're being picked on, but Allah is choosing us and giving us something to go through so that we can work those muscles and get into an even more healthier relationship or thing when he tests us this way. Alhamdulillah.
You know, Manira and sister.
Bina.
What's your name?
Bina.
Sister, what's your name?
Bina.
Now let me tell you what I had did, right? I was reading about Imam Walter D. Muhammad, and he was dealing with racism. But let me show you something. All that was about racism, I just put it in the context to put it between a situation between, you know, man and woman, the spouse and divorce and stuff like that. But let me tell you what happened. You and Sister Bina, when Imam Muhammad fought to go down and he deal with it being not being enslaved by racism, y'all brought that out. What he brought in the context of racism and that kind of hurt, y'all brought it out dealing with that, with the, you know, with man and woman and spouse like that. So praise be to Allah, and I'm thankful to Allah for that. I was kind of skeptical about trying it, and I did that, consulted with somebody about it, and they said, no, go ahead on and do it. You know, because I thought maybe it might be too much for, you know, for us to just pound and stuff in that subject like that. Tell y'all, y'all came in that context of husband and wife, and y'all did it. So praise be to Allah. And that was a discussion Imam Muhammad was giving about racism. So alhamdulillah. Thank y'all very much. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for calling in. And your beautiful poetry that you produce. I'll praise you to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, please press 1 and go out of the queue and come back in the queue if you want like to say something else. Okay. So, again, we're talking about the pros of getting married later in life. Okay. First, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to honor Allah's creation. He created us as relational beings living a community life. That's where we live. That's where we strive in the community life when we are paired and partnered with the right person and enjoying the exchanges and company on the journey, the constant company on the journey, this journey of life, and you're walking this journey with someone, you're praying with someone, you're helping someone, someone is helping you, someone's scratching your back, you're scratching someone else's back, okay? This is the life where we thrive. This is the life where we live, and it's very good when those exchanges are good and beneficial, and they help us to improve, bring us joy, bring us happiness, and just the security and comfort of knowing that someone is there. Okay? So that's a pro of getting married. So no matter how old you are, if you're alone, you know, get married. If there's some, if you find someone that is compatible, that you feel would be beneficial to your life and sharing your life and them sharing their life with you, it's very important and is never too late. And it's a welcome change. And we can go downhill faster by ourselves. Because just not taking care of ourselves like we would or being encouraged to take care of ourselves or paying that attention or not having communication, not having someone to talk to, we're not meant to live like that. Okay? We should be surrounded by good companionship and love, especially at this stage in life. Okay? Abena, would you like to add anything?
Oh, no, not at this time.
Okay.
No, you don't want to.
Okay. All right. Well, just let me know when. I just don't want to forget to include our wonderful co-host, and we thank her for joining the show and being a part of the show. It makes a big difference. Okay. So that's one reason. And another reason is being alone, you know, you might fall and you can't get up. You might fall and you can't get up and there's
you're
no
laughing,
one to call.
You're laughing, but that's so true. That's so true.
Yes, it is. You know, and I would have these concerns prior to getting married, and but I'm going to table that for 1 minute because we have another caller, Nikki, and we're going to go to our caller at 773-449. Okay. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mira. Assalamu alaikum to Yusuf Manira, to Yusuf Sabina, and the brother who just read his poems. You know, this is so
Brother Bilal.
Brother Bilal, you know, I wish I had known a lot of what I hear on your program. I wish I'd known it early on in life. And I'm at a point now where I'm 70 years old, and I was married to Mark Shahid, really actually technically still is. But as I look to my future, of being a divorcee at some point. It's kind of scary for me. It's kind of scary for me because you have to learn how to trust again, you know. And you start looking at what went wrong, and if you knew then what you know now, you would have made better decisions. And it's just things that you and Bina are saying that's so just so right. It's just so right for the recipe for marriage and success. And I'm taking it all in. I'm taking it all in and asking Allah not to let me be afraid of marriage again, you know, and to give me the person that best suited for my spirit, you know. And it just brings so much to mind. It just brings so much to mind of clarity of what you all are saying. And I will receive it, and I appreciate, you know, even Sister Bina in the level of this conversation. And, you know, the part about being alone, that's frightening.
It's frightening, you know,
especially as you grow older, you know, because to be wondering, will I ever get married again? And would I, you know, will it be my right mate? You know, I don't want to make the same mistakes I made before. And, you know, it's just a lot of questions that come up, you know. And I know we have to put our total faith in Allah. It's just a lot, you know.
Yeah, it is a lot. It can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming.
But inshallah, we'll learn enough and we'll have enough skills so that it's not overwhelming. Yeah, so we hope that we can shed some light on some things during this show that will help with that process. Okay. So stay tuned. Okay. And press 1 when you go out of the queue so I can recognize you if you'd like to come back in.
Okay. Thank you so much, both of you.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. We have another caller. We're going to go to 727-741. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. Your mic is open. Are you on mute?
Oh, and I was just talking. I was on mute. Assalamualaikum, Martha Naila Abdullah calling, and I'm calling. I'm in Philly currently, and on CWSC work. But praise be to Allah. I'm St. Pete Clearwater resident of Florida, and we hear, and we want to obey. And I'm speaking in reference to marriage. And seeking marriage and not wanting to hang my hat on age, but it does make a difference. And it does, even though we know, okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married someone sought marriage with him, and they were 15 years younger. I mean, he was 15 years younger. But it, you know, today's thing and everything, it changed, especially the female being older. And and for myself, I'm saying the number one thing that jumps out at me, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this should be good. I mean, what Muslim male would approach a Muslim female on the basis of being Muslim, you know? And so I know we let our guard down. Because in those situations, and this is in no turn saying anything contrary to persons I've connected with, and I have nothing to say about that, but just as on from my own thinking, you know, the first thing clouds my mind is, oh, this is Muslim, and the person, you know, I take them, well, alhamdulillah, I'll just leave it right there, but I think that's what gets in our way first. That we are not, and then it's not to denounce that, but it definitely, like you all are presenting those the situations, and then what is to preempt everything else is to go through you know, for, against a person that knows you well, and then allowing the process to work. So I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Okay. Please press 1 as you go out of the queue so we can recognize you if you'd like to come back in and have something further to share. Okay. We're going to go to our next caller at 321-917. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Yes, alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Delacy Umar here, and I might as well do my disclaimer. I'm Sister Manira's husband.
Alhamdulillah.
I was listening to the program and the comments, and I thought very simply about how Allah talks about us as being mates. That Allah says in the Quran, He has created love and mercy between the hearts. And this concept of love, first, is on many levels. And it's a natural phenomena. I use that language, that Allah, because it's an amazing process that Allah has created, and it works on different levels. But the main thing, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, you will never enter paradise until you believe, and you will never believe until you practice loving one another. This idea is such a powerful idea that our Prophet, peace and blessings, are associated having a hook, a good heart and love with paradise. That it's a ticket, if you will, to paradise. So, you know, this is one thing that you know, the world is really conscious of. You find it in music, you find it everywhere, this idea of loving one another, love your neighbor as yourself, et cetera, many, many different love. And then you have it on family level, you know, and the family levels are challenging. It's really where we learn to love, But let's just circle back. I wanted to share that concept that first off, that we have to have that love in the heart. And Allah, the subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates that love between people. We can't do it. We can't buy it. You can't pay money to get someone to love you. It just won't happen unless Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, creates that love. It talks about it in the Quran. Allah said it. He has created love in between the hearts of the believers. And if you were to spend all that you had on earth, never could you create that love, but Allah has done. So it's the first thing that we have to understand when we are talking about relationships, that we are, first off, we are obligated to love one another according to our messenger, Allah's messenger, our prophet, that we love one another. So this first thing, and Allah talks about love and compassion. You know that you have that sincere feeling in your heart that you don't want to injure this person. I don't want the person to be hurt, or et cetera, by my behavior. You know, and I think these are some of the things. These are keys, I would say, to relationships. At first, you got to really be a lover of humanity, love what Allah has created, et cetera. So, and certainly, I want to circle back and make good use of this time about elderly marriage. I, my personal, I'm 75. I'll be next month, inshallah, be 76.
And, inshallah.
I was married 43 years. 43 years. I'm very, very proud of that accomplishment. You know, that I had the opportunity to get to know someone and go through trials, tribulations, all of that with a person. And as you mentioned earlier, this is God's plan. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan for humanity, that we have mates, that we have a partner. And just, you know, when and once my wife returned to Allah, may Allah forgive her, give her paradise, and forgive me for my things I may have neglected in the relationship. Once that happened, there was a great void. There was a void. And so after I did my little if you would, I know males don't have to do it, but I said I was going to take time before I tried to remarry. You know, but after that, I felt that void from having a partner, someone around for those years, that many years, having responsibility, having accountability, having you know, just that companionship. Even though we had some struggling years, but it was always having someone, like you mentioned, having your back, So that's important. That's very, very significant. But that missing the process, I wanted to just highlight that. That's a very high motivator when you have experienced a relationship, a long-lasting relationship, and then you lose it. You know, you're just motivated to understand the importance and the necessity, the necessary practice, and you can appreciate that why Allah has created this concept of vehicle in our religion to help a person move to the next level. So thank you so much for this program, and just wanted to share some various concepts about this. And you know, in relationships, you learn to love. That's another important factor. You can be by yourself a lot and think you're loving somebody, but when you get in relationships and you have to practice what God, Allah, and what Allah has ordered, out of respect, compassion, well wishes, et cetera, all of those things that you know the human being do. It's the right. It's the human being's right on each other. We have that right on each other, that we be respected, that we be treated well, that we be considered, and that we be trusted. All of those things we find so hard to do. But in our religion, it's an obligation. We have to see it as such. So thank you so much. Appreciate the program, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you for your words of wisdom. Thank you for calling in. All right. Wa alaikum assalam. Okay. And we have another caller in the queue. The caller, please be patient, because I don't want to have to interrupt what you're going to say with a station break. So we're going to take a quick pause for the calls and come right back, and the mic will be all yours. So please stick and stay with us as we take a pause for the calls. And take our commercial break. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on AM 360. And We'll be right back with you after this quick commercial break.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you every first Sunday of the month where we will deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on AM 360. I'm your host, Manira Habil Uma, and our co-host, we lost her call. And I was waiting for her to call back in, but hopefully she can get back in and call us and join the program. Okay. And tonight we're talking about getting married later in life, getting married in our golden years, in the winters of our life. Okay. And we appreciate all the comments that we've heard and all the insight and wisdom that has been shared so far and the questions and concerns that have been raised. Okay, and we have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to 347-336. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to Munira and
Alhamdulillah.
This is your sister, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam. Very interesting subject matter that you're exploring tonight. I just want to say and interject this, you know, that marriage, many times in society, especially now, you give the impression that it's burdensome, right? And there's even a degree of dread that is interjected to the into the anticipation of having a new mate. And something within me, my spirit, sort of rejects that because marriage is a happy beginning because it's a foundational step that has to be taken for society to progress, you know, in a healthy and dignified and morally respectful way. It's a gift that our Creator has given us as a relationship. It's like a relationship bonus. No matter what time or stage in life we encounter the options that we're faced with it. So I was remembering and kind of smiling at the fact that few people know that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, was a matchmaker. And I don't know if many people know that he fulfilled diligently that capacity in his community because he understood that the sinking, the foundation, bringing humanity in sync was a process of unity, unification, right? And there were times when there were more eligible women who were either widowed or they were orphaned, but they were without mates in unexpected situations or even predictable situations, and that the solidification of his community depended on them having a mate. So the prophet, he would endure the period of time between a divorce and the declaration of divorce, and then the actual divorce became formal, because at the end of that waiting period, which was often viewed, and we were encouraged to view it as a reconciliation period to see if there was anything that could be solved, rejoined in the aspect of that breach, whatever it was about. And we were told, as Allah says in the Quran, is that reconciliation was never a problem for Allah, that if the two desired it within their families, within their hearts, rather, that he could bring it about. So the provision of even the waiting period between pronouncement of divorce and it actually being finalized, they were encouraged and commanded to live, cohabitate, stay in the same house, and nobody has to move out, you know, that type of thing, and just see what God brought about. That's what's important to me, is to view marriage from a position of, what does God want of me? Why why did he incline me to be married, you know, and what is that longing that exists in all of our hearts and souls for someone we can connect with, we'll just use that word, we can be at peace with, that we can identify, you know, as your husband was speaking about his experiences and his longing to be rejoined after a period of separation. That's a natural inclination for the human being, because in our origin, Allah has made us mates of like nature from the beginning. And he has inclined us to be attracted to a similar personality or concept, someone that we feel connected to and joined to. And that's that creation of the love and the affection that only Allah can put in whatever degree he likes within you and cause then the attraction to occur. So we look at it like that. Anticipation of marriage is kind of exciting in that way, because in our seeking and searching for completion and peace with Allah, it's interesting and elevating, you know, to anticipate finding someone who's just the right fit, you know, and that makes courtship and marriage inviting for us. So despite the age, and then I'll stop, despite the age or even the situation or even the condition, etc., it's a natural inclination for the human being to desire mating, desire someone who fits his form or her form or her inclination, her desire, and fits their personality. Exploring it during courtship is very beneficial. If you know the right questions to ask and the right answers to give, right? But it's an anticipated level of connection for the human being created by Allah, and a very, very opportunistic time to feel that we're reaching our destiny, our promised destiny, and our position. So I'll stop right there. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank
Alhamdulillah. You're so welcome. And thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Okay, so please press 1 and go out of the queue so I can recognize you if you want to come back in and have something further to share or say. All right, so we've heard quite a bit about marriage and getting married at a later stage in life and at older stages in life, and we've heard the pros about it. And that statement I made, and you do wonder about, you know, being alone, being by yourself, and being older, and there's no one there. So it does put you at ease and makes you feel secure to have someone there. And I want to say to our caller, don't be discouraged or afraid. You've learned something from this past relationship that you needed to learn. Something that you needed to learn is a piece to the puzzle. Take the lesson. Take that lesson and just jot it down. What did I learn from this particular relationship? Extract that lesson, because we will get what we strive for in life. So if you strive to have a beautiful relationship and a fulfilling, happy relationship, there was something you need to learn before that take place for you. So look for the lesson in this latest relationship that you had. It's not meant to make you afraid of marriage. It's not meant to make you not want to be married, and I know you do want to be married, but not to be afraid of the institution, but there's something that needed to be learned from that process. And we pray Allah that he guides you to that situation that you needed to learn, and you use that to go forward and have a beautiful relationship with someone and that companionship that's needed. And one thing I would suggest is an email Muhammad instructed us years ago to start where we are in our with the people around us, and then branch out. And one benefit to that, a huge benefit to that, is the people that are around us and close to us in our community. You may have been around them for years, observing them indirectly or interacting with them directly or indirectly. And so you know them, you know some history, you know some temperament and dispositions, you know some insights, and maybe have even worked with them. And so that's a bonus. That's a bonus. But we start there, but we don't have to stay there, but that's where we start. And if you see someone in your environment, you know, and it's someone you love for the sake of Allah, and we love each other, and they're different loves, right? There's not always a romantic love. There's a love where you love someone because of who they are. Like, we loved Imam Warthy Muhammad, but we didn't all want to marry Imam Warthy Muhammad, but we loved him. We love Martin Luther King. We love Nelson Mandela. We love people and admire people for who they are and what they're doing in life and the contributions they're making. And sometimes we love people just for the energy they bring. They're always bringing a smile and this energy and this concern and compassion. You know, strong hugs or firm handshakes, and they make you feel good. They brighten up the area. We love that person, bringing that into the space. So we love people for different reasons. So one thing to help us heal is start enjoying this type of love. You know, you love waking up hearing the birds sing in the morning. You're just hearing the birds in the morning when you get up for Fajr. It's a pleasant sound. You know, so there is actually love all around us that we can enjoy. We should enjoy that love, and we should enjoy the love we have in community, in community life. It feels so good to see people you haven't seen and to be a part of the community, and how you feel when you go around the community. You know, enjoy that love. Okay, so enjoy the love around you. Don't be mournful so much. Mourning has a time limit. It shouldn't go on for extended periods of time. We have to go forward with life. Okay, so enjoying the love around you and enjoying love on different levels is important to help heal the spirit, help heal the heart, and to put us in a good disposition where we're not sad, we're not desperately lonely, because we're enjoying love on many different levels, okay? We enjoy the love of little children around us. We enjoy love on different levels. So I'm saying that to say that being healthy in our soul, in our hearts, in our minds, in our dispositions is very, very important, because we're going to get what we strive for. And we lose someone and we mourn them, and then we still have to live life, and we want to live life in the best way. And the person that we're mourning would want us to live life in the best way. You know, not be lonely and sad and in a dark space. Okay? So get the lesson from that situation. Then start looking, and when you're ready, start looking in your immediate environment for people that you know, or that you know of their history, who are not married, and just look at the possibilities. And if you don't find them in your immediate environment, then travel. Use your networks and your friends and your sister friends and brother friends to inquire. Let them know that you are looking for a husband. And see what happens, you know. But pray to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help you overcome this situation. And what was it that I needed to learn from this situation? And how can I avoid this happening again? Pray to Allah to help remove the hurt off your heart and to bring a good mate to you. And we all start out loving each other to please Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person can do that and really has an understanding of that, that they love you to please Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pleasing Allah is high, high, high on their priority list, there should be more safety with that person. They love you because you are Allah's creation, and they love you to please Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will respect Allah's creation and protect Allah's creation and not cause you harm, undue harm. So that's a very important quality to look for. in a mate. But then getting to know someone, we have to use all of our experiences in life to help to get to know someone. Having that premarital questionnaire helps keep us on track with conversations and things we need to know about each other, you know. So it's very, very important that we don't do it alone, that we do it with the company of others, that we consult with other people about people, that we go into their space and spend time with them and their friends, families, meet them to get insight into the person and get to know them by their record. Every person has a history. Every person has a record. And we need to get to know them by the record that they have produced and not do it alone. Don't get carried away. Don't be infatuated. You know, do it with a grounded disposition, feet firmly planted, level head, and don't get run away with the process. And having insights from other people and references from other people, good references from other people, is extremely, extremely important to safeguard the precious soul and heart that Allah has given us all. Okay? Okay, so we're going to go back to our caller. First, I'm coming to 773-449. I see your hand is still raised. Let me see, check and see if you had something else to add to the conversation.
No.
Okay, no? Okay. All right, then press 1. All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to go to 347-336. Pressing 1, and your mic is open. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mahasan. Alhamdulillah, you brought something to mind that is really something that's important to understand as you take this journey that you're describing. Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. encouraging in seeking a mate. Remembering that there are three arenas that are replete with knowledge about, especially when we're in the getting to know you position for someone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that the way to get to know someone is to work with them, travel with them, or live with them. And we know that prior to marriage, living together is off limits for Muslims, and because living together can only be experienced within the bonds of marriage, so that the conjugal rights are protected. But that mm-hmm. still leaves a big arena of population and environment in which to really observe someone as you're doing traveling, as you said, a wonderful opportunity to experience someone, see them confronted in different situations that travel may bring about for them, may challenge them with, or just someone you're interested in who likes to travel, if you like to travel. And then the other one is working with someone. There's another huge arena of being able to get acquainted with people, either in the work that you do or the work that you, the service that you produce, the product that you're making, someone who may have a likeness in inventiveness with you or a thought leader someone who is inspired by the ability to serve the people who are in a very vulnerable position in society.
Mm-hmm.
I think your husband mentioned the ingredient of compassion and,
yes,
and concern. You're a compassionate person. Look for those type of connections and people that you have, a brother-sister relationship. Find out who they are impressed with and they admire, and you just in your social network, that would be an opportunity. I had one experience where actually the children of the person who was single, the mother, were actually instrumental in connecting and introducing to someone they liked.
Mm-hmm.
And that
yeah,
turned out in a very positive way. So the challenge that I would caution us about is limited time. Take your time to know,
mm-hmm,
someone, to observe them, and beware of mask and disguise. I'll stop right there.
Yes. Yes, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And one thing, have a Wali. That cuts it in half. Have a Wali. So the person is already vetted for you. The history is looked into. The record is looked into. We all are likened to a tree. And a tree bears a fruit. What fruit has the life bared that you're looking to share? What are the fruits of that life? What have been the relationships of that life? Has it been a long line of pain for others? Or has it been a benefit and a blessing for others? So have a Wali to help protect you. And to find out sensitive information about a person that you might not want to ask. Okay? Have a Wali or a whole marriage success team, a team of people, you know? And if you have older sons, like Sister Mahasan just suggested, have them also look out and see if they know someone that would be a good mate for you, okay? But don't do it alone, because we have to accept that we are vulnerable. As women, we are very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable, and we trust easily. So that's a gift. It's not a curse. But all gifts should be protected, you know. So protect yourself with a Wali and a team of people looking out for you and your interest, helping look at situations for you and look at people. And don't try to go through this process alone. And, of course, continue to seek Allah's guidance, make istikhara prayer, and pray to Allah. And we all have to pray to Allah to help us heal the scars that we accumulate in life, the pains that we accumulate in life, betrayals, distrust, or disappointments that we have. You know, we don't carry those things around for years and years and years. Get rid of it. Help remove it off of our hearts. Remove it off of our minds. You know, sometimes you're in salat and something that happened that caused you pain just pops up and you have to seek refuge with Allah from shaitan, the rejected enemy, even in prayer, you know. So using those 12 steps to help as a process remove the pain and those doors that shaitan can come through is very, very important. Very, very important. So we are going to take a quick pause for the cause. And so we're going to ask our caller in the queue to please stand by. And we'll be right back with you after this very quick public service announcement. So please stick and stay. Don't go away, and we'll be right back.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Okay, and we are back. And you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Uma, and tonight we're talking about getting married later in life. And we appreciate all the wonderful contributions that we've had so far this evening. And we have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to 863-812. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam to the hosts and all the listeners. This is Brother Salim from the Tampa Bay area. Alhamdulillah, I've heard so much wonderful information. I've heard some knowledge. I've heard some good advice. I've also heard a mixture of a lot of good things and things that I have not been involved in myself. What I mean by that is probably the environment that one grew out of or came up through and was introduced to a limited amount of strategies in this area. What I want to ask is what happens speaking about love, right? I heard some excellent stuff. But what happens, whether it's the male or the female, but I'll just make an I statement. What happens if I'm sharing and giving love and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's what I'm doing, but my mate is unable to receive the love that I'm giving. That there seems to be almost no way that the mate is believing that I'm loving them. What does that, you know what I'm saying? What does that say to you, you know? What would you say about a situation like that?
Yes.
That's a challenge, right?
Yeah, that is a challenge. That's definitely a challenge. And we've done a show and covered material that lets us know we all have love languages. So the not understanding a love language is sometimes the love is not communicated. And I know this is a Western concept, but one universal love language is loving for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's sake. Okay, that's universal. At some level, if we're conscious of Allah and we're conscious of Allah in our lives and we love Allah and we love our Prophet, that type of love we can all share or understand, give, and receive. I love you for the sake of Allah, you know, for being in this community, for being by my side in Salat. I love you on this level for Allah's pleasure. That's universal. But outside of that, we have love languages that and many of us don't know this about ourselves. And and there are five different ways to show love and improve relationships. And, you know, there are those who, when you say what are the five love languages, one is words of affirmation. You know, some people want to hear words of affirmation, and to them that's love. That reaches them, and they thrive on spoken affection and encouragement and compliments. And this to them is a way love is communicated. Some people are acts of service. You know, they don't have to hear all the love and everything, but you take the trash out on a regular basis and you do things that make them happy on a regular basis. And those acts of service and doing things it creates love because it's given their time and the energy, and they see you giving time and energy in the environment to improve the environment. And those acts of service can be love because that may be how their father showed love, cutting the grass, working on the house, you know, fixing things around the house and doing those things. That was their father's way of showing love to the family. So acts of service may be something that helps them receive the love. Some people, the third one is giving gifts, thoughtful gifts, or, you know, to them, that's act of love, and that makes them happy. And then quality time, giving quality time to a person, that may be their love language. Setting aside, this time is for you, you alone, no cell phone, no emails, just me and you. You know, what do you want to do with this time? You know, just for me and you. That quality time is received as love. And then physical touch. That's number five. Some people need to be physically touched, held, caressed, and that lets them know that they are loved. So learning the love language of a spouse is very a good way to know, because you may think your love is being received, but it's not the particular way that they receive love. So learning how they receive love is good. And there's a quiz that can be taken online if you want to get that information or look into that. So it may not be you personally, but it's just the way that they receive love is not the way, and the way that you're giving love don't quite match up. but they love you. But the conversation of the love, the how the love is given and received, may be hidden and missing.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And these are things that we didn't know about. And, you know, we love is love, you know. And so we may not have learned all of these things, but, you know, we come from people who are very close to the earth and very practical people. So, you know, we didn't go into all the psychology of love and everything, but sometimes just looking at a person and knowing what they've been used to, how did your father show love to the family? How did the men around you growing up show that they love their families? And asking those questions, and you can get a glimpse into what kind of love communication that they've been used to.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. That just was one of the experiences, is that sometimes people come from different places, and that's the thing you were saying. Like one of the key things I heard was learning how they receive love.
Yeah,
was one of the key things. Then if you tap into what you believe that they enjoy and like, you know, then automatically they should accept differently.
Yeah.
I'll say automatically they should. There have been cases where that didn't impress individuals too. So, you know, I mean, you know, and then I've heard, you know what I'm saying, I've heard just different things, right? But, yeah, I appreciate that. I jotted some notes down on that, you know what I mean? You know, like you say, words of information, acts, gifts, you know, quality time, all that good stuff. Okay. And I take that to be very helpful. And alhamdulillah. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. You're so welcome. Alhamdulillah. And thank you for calling in. Okay. So, you know, and this is something that we should look at in the courtship process too. You know, how does this person, how is love communicated to this person? How is love communicated? How do they receive love? Okay, because sometimes it may be something that you can't quite give to a person, and this is an extreme example, and it's not related to anyone or anything, but it's just an example to help create a picture of what I'm saying. If a person, in order to feel love, needs you to agree with everything they say, needs you to do whatever they say, not question it, and be available for their every request and whim, well, that's not something that you can give. Okay? Only Allah, you give that to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because Allah requires us to be rational human beings and to look out for each other. Okay, so if a person requires something that you can't give and things that we should only give to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know that that's going to be a relationship that you can't thrive in. So understanding how a person receives love, you can learn whether this is something you can provide. And it might just be the same way that you receive love, and that would be wonderful. But if it's not, is it something that you can do? Is it something that you can practice? So that's part of the courtship process, you know, understanding how a person has received love in their life. And in the event that someone has had a life where they haven't, they don't think they have received a lot of love, you know, then, you know, finding out what is their understanding of love and how should love be communicated between two people? What will make love grow? You know? And we used this example on a previous show that developing a relationship with a newborn baby. That newborn baby can't talk, you know? But then it can cry when something is needed. And you respond to the cry. And every time that baby cries, you respond and you fulfill those needs. Pretty soon, soon as you show up and the baby sees your face, that baby will smile, let you know that they are happy to see you, and that smile just warms your heart, and this beautiful love is just growing between you and this baby because needs are met and fulfilled. You're taking care of them, making sure they're okay, and you're creating a relationship. Same process when we're older. We're not crying, you know, but we're looking at each other and getting to know each other and looking as to what are the needs. How can I help this person? You know, how can I be of benefit? How can I share my life with this person in a way where it brings a level of assistance and help, peace, tranquility? This stuff produces love when we operate in this way. So as my husband DeLacy was saying, we grow in love. We grow in love really through acts of kindness and service to each other, trusting each other, being a benefit to each other, being a help to each other. All this makes love grow, and the trust, and also not hurting each other, but bringing each other some happiness and joy, some relief, some ease, some comfort. All these are ingredients that makes love grow in a relationship. So understanding how a person receives love, understanding how you as a person receive love, how can a person show that they love you? All right, very important information to know. And for that, we have to look into ourselves and to our lives and what we have gone through and what we have been given and shown through the course of a lifetime. So we're already 2 minutes out from ending the show. So time went by fast this evening. I appreciate all the comments from everyone. And we want to remind you to listen to this show tomorrow morning, Wednesday, for some more enlightening information. Please tune in to AM360 to hear.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, every Wednesday morning, The Female Solution right here on AM360. So we're going to continue this topic on getting married later in life. We'll continue this topic next week, and we'll bring you more information and more insights into how can we get married later in life and have a successful relationship. So we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out this evening, and we'll be back next week, inshallah, with more important topics.
Yeah. made him brave enough to go out and face the world. A country man he came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here, loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Making a life believe,
loving
a creature of fear, performing dry tears,
fearing
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world,
go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceive him, her brought him to me. Never count him out, faith went over down. Poor lost sinners, poor squires of winning. Fearing thee, so I made him brave enough to go.
Loving
thee, loving thee, made him brave enough to go.
Fearing thee,
what made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the
world. A country man did, came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here,
fearing,
never caught him up, things went over down. Making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
A countryman dear, came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, we fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so join us again next week. We'll continue this topic, getting married later in life, and we pray that this topic is beneficial to all in the listening ear of this program. So we're going to pray that until then, we're going to leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless us all as we journey in this life. Assalamu alaikum.